Man, I'm pumped at you. With a second service, man, we had a great, great first service. So amazing. I got my new friend Anthony in the front row with me. I met him yesterday over tacos at the Gus Mac. It was a taco truck, actually. And he had this Lion Chaser shirt on. He's a little stacked, you know? He's a big man. And I'm just like, dude, Lion Chaser, it's got to be like a God thing. So I started asking him questions. And he is a young man who serves church. He is 4 hours away to come win the Gus Macker tournament. He is in between games. And we're going to believe you're going to crush that team. Come on, win, Big Anthony, win. Come on. West Virginia to BC over tacos. That's not bad, man. I love him. I am so pumped. And he works with his youth group. And he loves the Lord, and we're just blessed to have him in the front row as a new family member. Come on. Hey, amen. Come on. He's got my number. He's going to let us know. If he crushes that team, they should win the whole thing, man. 3-0. That's great. Renee is not with us. She is with Ethan, who's at the Gus Macker. He's 13, and I have no idea what they feed 13 and 14-year-olds that are like this big. And we just don't have a chance, man. We're in the toilet bowl, and it's just awful. But anyways, on a serious note, we are blessed for this church, Renee and I. And as many of you know, it was a week where some 68 just comes alive to say every day, he bears my burden. And as some of you know, and we're a family here, so we're trying to be transparent. Renee lost her father on Sunday morning last week. It's crazy. I didn't even do this last week, and I knew it before service even started. And just, you know, there's loss, but gain, as we know, spiritually. And just thank you so much for your prayers and being a part of our lives in a real way, and just continuing to pray for Renee and her home team and just family. And just, we got to go back tonight to Pittsburgh, and we're going to do a burial tomorrow. But we were there all week, and it was great to be there, and great to be there for Renee. She is the strongest woman I know on this planet. She is rock, and she finds her way through anything in life. Man, my wife is unbelievable and amazing, loves Jesus, and just Jesus is her rock, and she is strong in who she is as a woman. And I'm so blessed by my wife. But I thank you. Good news, I turned 50 this week. Thank you so much. I know that you are like, I thought you were 40. I know you did. That's pretty cool. But I turned 50, so in the midst of a week, we celebrated, Renee and I, and it was fun. So, but I'm so pumped that you are with us, and I love our visitors, and so blessed that you're in our second service, and what an amazing first service we had. But if you are ready, man, if you would allow for the preaching of God's word to come into a place that we walk out this place full today, full worship of our almighty God, who is so beautiful and amazing, Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior, who put himself on a cross for you and I, that we would have everlasting life and come to a place to know he deserves to be celebrated, honored, and worshiped, and adored. And we come into this place today to be able to hear God's word and just walk out this place different than when we came in this place. And I hope that you're with me in this. I've got just a quick announcement in this. We are looking for SEEK volunteers. On Sunday night, the first Sunday of the month, we have SEEK. And if you're a part of SEEK, we love SEEK. It's an amazing time of worship and prayer. But we need adult volunteers. We're looking for three different sections, maybe six adults, maybe once a year if you can do that. It's once a month, so if you could do once a year, there's a sign up at the info desk. SEEK is growing at such a rate that the kids are kind of overtaking and teenagers are kind of losing their marbles over there, so to speak, and a little in over their heads, and we need some adult supervision. And we're just asking volunteers of the church, just one SEEK a year. And if we could get enough for that, man, we would spread the love, and that would be amazing, right? And I'm so pumped for today. I'm excited for the word of God. So if you would turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 1 and Romans 12. And let's ask God to move in a real way. Father, we just thank you so much. God, we love your presence. We thank you for what is taking place here this morning. We thank you for every single heart that's in this room today. And Father, your word is alive and powerful, God. It can rearrange and change our lives in an instant when we understand and believe in the power of one verse, God. It will change our lives forever. And Father, we thank you for your word. God, I ask that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. God, that we would be able to clear out everything else and we come to a place this morning to say, God, I'm here. I want to hear from you. Speak into my life today, right now. Right now, God, I'm available. Speak to me. If you just in your heart would just simply say, Lord, speak to me today. I want to hear from you. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Church, as you know, we are an athletic church. We are involved in many different things. I just got to talk about, we are involved in volleyball. Believers Chapel has three teams in the volleyball. This is the second night of playoffs, starts tomorrow night. We have a blue team that was supposed to be the number one team in BC. They're no longer in the playoffs because they lost. We have a yellow team called the Bananas. They're no longer in the volleyball league because they lost. But the team that I'm on, the team that wears the black shirts, we're still in it. I just wanted you to know that we're still in for the playoffs. We also play softball on Tuesdays, and this is the first time history of BC softball that we represent Believers Chapel in a place of going into the championship on Tuesday night. We're juiced about this. We're gonna do everything we can to destroy and conquer the competition. And I love this, come on. But this is the deal, the truth is this. I say that on purpose because we want a level of excellence and we wanna represent the church, Christ Jesus, our Lord, not just here on Sundays. Man, we're on a volleyball court on Mondays, having a blast representing Christ. We're on a softball diamond in the city league, going for the championship against people who really, we're loving on them and encouraging them and build them and at the same time want to crush them and they know it, but we want them to come to church. And what does it look like to be involved? What's it look like to be a community that says it's not just about the seats, it's about what we do at Walmart and what we do at Tim Hortons and what we do in anything that you're involved in, where we truly represent Christ in everything that we do. And man, we're gonna go into this message today knowing that everything that we do, we represent Christ. And watch this now, where's our mindset in that? We're in this series called Train Your Brain. Man, this was supposed to be 3 weeks, it's turned into the summer series. And I think this is dynamic for me. And I've heard so much from so many about this series and what it's done for their mindset and what they do in their thoughts and how they now can take control of their thoughts in Christ Jesus. And man, today we're going to talk about what's it mean. 1 Peter 1, it talks about what it means to prepare your mind for action. Well, what does that look like to prepare your mind for action? Your version may say, gird up your loins. And the word gird up your loins is a battle term, man. It's a battle term that means like when they would go into war, they would wear robes and they would lift up the robes, tie it into their belt so that they could be swift and not get caught up in the robe and not trip up. So here we see this in 1 Peter 1. We're going to read it in a minute, but there's a little bit back to this where you've got Peter and he writes the first 12 verses and he's writing this letter to several different churches. It's one letter to several different churches. And he's talking about the persecution that they're going through. He's talking about the trials that they're facing, talking about the tribulation that they're going through. And this is just after Jesus, man. This is just after he ascended. They start going in and really preaching the gospel. Peter's preaching the gospel, and persecution was coming to the believers. Persecution was coming to the church. And I love this, when we come to this place in 1 Peter 13, the first 12 verses set up a therefore. Because of the first 12 verses, let's pick it up, 1 Peter 1, verse 13, therefore, because you're going through persecution, because you're standing firm on the name of Jesus Christ, because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, he did come put himself on a cross, he was raised from the dead, he came out of that grave on the third day, he ascended into heaven, and this is what they were preaching. This is where they were. You must believe in Jesus for salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way. This is who we know him to be. He is the Messiah. And in that, in the church, there was persecution, there was trials, there was tribulation. Pressure began to build. And this is Peter. And this is his words of encouragement for where they're at. Church, what happens when you and I truly come to a place to proclaim only Jesus? In today's day, when you come to a place, say, no, Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. That there is only one, and it's not religion. It's not this avenue or that avenue or this avenue or that. It's not this lie or that. It's only Jesus, period. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It is just that simple. But to proclaim that today as a Christian, to be able to be honest and bold and humble and graceful and caring and loving and to be able to truly be able to say, it's really only Jesus. And this is the absolute truth. If you're a follower of Christ, we ought to live this up. You need to come to a place to repent from sin. You need to come to a place to believe in Jesus alone. And you need to come to a place to confess that he is Lord, which means he is master and he is sir. And I take my knee and I bow down to him to walk in complete obedience of surrender to him and the word of God. And if you do that today, you're going to take some hits. You're going to have people turn their back. You're going to have people really come and insult you. You're going to have people walk out of your life. You're going to have people who will say, I don't believe that, and they'll persecute you. And just so here we come to a place to say there's a group of people that have been standing firm in Christ's absence. And then verse 13 says this, and here's Peter, he says this, therefore, because of all of that, prepare your minds for action. Listen, you need to know that, man, if you're walking firm in Christ, there's going to be times that you're going to take some hits. But have you ever really thought about what this means to prepare? Gird your loins. You must be swift. Where? Like, because when you see this picture of girding your loins, you're talking about soldiers who are grabbing swords, and you talk about soldiers who are grabbing their shields, and you talk about soldiers who are grabbing their bows and their arrows, and they need to be swift on their feet, and they're ready for battle. But have you really ever thought about what it means to prepare your mind? To gird your mind for action. And he's speaking to a group of people that have been taking some hits. He's speaking to a group of people that have been under persecution. And he says, listen, because of that, you need to prepare. You need to be swift. You need to be ready. Prepare means to make ready. You need to make ready in your mind. You know, being a police officer, there's so much that we go into where it truly can be spare the moment. You can get into something in an instant of pulling a car over. You can get into something on a SWAT team, where I loved being a part of the SWAT team, gave that up to really, really start pursuing what church really looked like for me. And what's it mean when you get a warrant and you need to execute it in such amount of time, and you know now is that moment you're going in, you don't know what's it look like to really prepare your mind? There's so much that would go through my head. This could happen, or this could happen. If I pull this car over, this could happen, and this. And you just go through this process of, and listen, I've got the advantage point being a police officer. You're trained, prepare your mind, be ready for anything. What's going to take place? You don't know. When you kick in that door, you don't know who or what's behind that door. But you got to be ready. And I love this because Peter's in this place. Well, church, we are warriors. And church, we are soldiers of Christ. And church, what happens when you come to a place going, okay, if I need to train my brain and I'm in this place, have I known what it looked like to prepare my mind for action? Am I ready for people to walk away? Am I ready for persecution? Am I ready to stand firm no matter who says what? Am I ready to stand firm on the word? And be prepared for what happens. Because I love what it says. Look what it says. It says this. Prepare your minds for action. Watch this. Keep sober in your spirit. Your version may say, keep a sober mind. And what does the word sober mean here? It means without intoxicants. And this certainly could mean alcohol and drugs. But when you're talking about your mind being intoxicated, it's talking about your mind being unclear. When you're not sober, you're not thinking straight. When you're not sober, there's a fogginess to you. When you're not sober, and it's speaking again in reference to your mind and your spirit, that you would come to this place going, man, have you ever gotten to that place? You're just like, I can't even think straight. I've got so much going on up here that I can't even think straight. Man, I'm all foggy in my head. I'm not clear up here. Well, listen, this is what Peter is saying. Listen, you need to prepare your mind for action, and you need to be sober. You need to be clear-minded. We need to be ready, and we need to be prepared when you're looking about what it means to train your brain. I love where he's at in 1 Peter. I love what he's saying here. He says, listen, this is the deal. What happens when your mind is foggy? What happens when your mind isn't clear? Man, just going through this, I've gone through my heart, and I'm looking at, well, what are some of the things that would cause my mind to be foggy? And the number one thing for me, honestly, is just too much. I've got too much of this, and I've got too much of that, and this is going on, and that's going on, and it just, I can't even think straight. It used to be intoxicating influence. It used to be the people that you would hang around that would just infiltrate your mind and cause your mind to come to this place to be foggy. That you would come to a place to not really be able to control your mind because of the influence that you have, because of the people that you're around. If you're a teenager in this place, if you're a college student in this place, if you're a young adult who's single, if you're a married person in this place, you need to be very careful of who you allow to influence you, because they can intoxicate your mind. And Peter is very clear here. He says, listen, this is the deal. You need to be ready, but you are never ready if you can't think straight. You are never going to be ready for action if you're clouded in your mind, if you're foggy. And I love this. Watch this. Here it is. He says this: therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in your spirit. Fix your hope completely. That's I love that. Fix your hope. Fix your confident expectation completely with everything you got. Nothing left over. Completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, there is a day, church, that Jesus Christ, our King, our Master, and our Lord, He will return for His church. And there's a day that you and I can fix. We need to prepare. We need to keep sober in our mind. And we need to be ready and be fixed to know on the hope, the confident expectation that there is a day that our King returns to take us home. And in that, there is this hope that comes. But where is our mind when it comes to this place to be ready for action? That's a fair question, man. Have you ever come to a place to really dwell on this verse to say, have I actually ever prepared my mind for anything? I know of a few who probably have not. But you come to this place to know what it means to make my mind ready. If I'm going to train my brain, I need to make my mind ready. I can't walk in a place to be foggy. I need to be very careful of the influence that I allow in my life that's going to cloud my judgment. What clouds your judgment? Who clouds your judgment? Come on, I want you to see this. Watch this. This is great. We're going somewhere here this morning. I want you to get it. Watch verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed. Listen, I love this because he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the unchurched. He's not talking to the unbeliever here. He says, as obedient children, children of who? We have been adopted by God. Man, He is our Abba Father. And He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the adopted. He's speaking to those who are saved. And I love what He says, do not be conformed. And the word conformed, it means to take the form of, to become like. And I look what he says. Look what he says. He says, do not be conformed. Do not take the form of the former lust, which were in your ignorance. Don't go backwards. He's telling the church, listen, you need to prepare your mind. You need to get ready for action. You got to have a clear mind. You can't go into this life foggy. You need to know that there's a day that Jesus comes back and be ready for that day. And do not, church, do not go back and take the form of who you were, of your former manner of lust. Don't go back there. Watch this. Here it is. But, verse 15, but the Holy One who called you. Listen, we know that God is holy. He needs to be worshiped as He's holy. He needs to be honored as He's holy. He needs to be cried out to, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your will be done. Your kingdom come here on the earth as it is in heaven. He needs to be cried out to as He is holy. And holy means undefiled, pure. And He says something that's so stunning. He says something, and he's talking about our behavior. He's talking about not being conformed to what you once were. Don't go backwards. Don't take the form of your former lusts. And look what he says. He said, listen, he references God as holy, who called you, be holy yourselves also. That's stunning, church. You mean we got to come to this place to believe that God is holy and he calls us to be holy ourselves? And he says something very key. He says, in your behavior. When you know my behavior matters, man, my mindset, it matters. When I come to this place to know if I stand for him, I may take some hits. If I stand for him, I may lose a job. If I stand for him, I may lose family member. If I stand for him, I may lose friends. If I stand for him, there's going to be trials and tribulation. And I love it in 1 Peter 1, before verse 13, he says, listen, this is just temporary. It's just a short season. But in that short season, your behavior, it matters. And he is holy and says, you are called to be holy yourselves. Now, please hear this, man. If you fill your bathtub and try to walk on water, you will not make it, man. You will sink. I have a pool. I tried that. I hit the bottom. It doesn't work. Church, we're not perfect. Go get him, Anthony. Go get him. Come on, 100 points today, Anthony. But we walk into place to know, God, you've called me to be holy, to be undefiled, to be pure in my behavior. Because my behavior matters. And listen, when you come to a place, I'm going to understand what it means to prepare my mind. I'm going to make my mind ready for action. I'm going to be ready for the hits. I'm going to walk into place to know what it looks like. To understand that sound judgment. I'm going to walk into place. I love it. That I'm going to keep sober and clear-minded. I'm going to walk into place to know what it is to keep my hope that he returns. And when I do that, I can walk into place to know that my behavior matters because I've made my mind up and I've prepared my mind and I'm ready for what comes. Come on, look at this in Romans 12 when you talk about being conformed. And I love this because this is just a part of Scripture where it defines this change. It defines a change that takes place in you and I. And it's a biblical change, can only be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit in every single one of us who've come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pick this up, Romans 12, verse 2, and it says this, do not be conformed. Again, we're talking about train your brain. We're talking about what it looks like in our mindset to be ready for action. And in ready for action, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not take the form. Do not go back to a place to take the form of, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I love this. So when we're talking about being conformed, how is it that we're not going to go back to that place to take the form once again of the world, to know that we're different from the world, but be transformed? So conform means don't go take the form of, don't be like. You need to be transformed. Transformed, it means this place of transformation, which actually the Greek word is metamorphosis, which is what you know from a butterfly. Be transformed, be changed. So if you had a young child and they've never seen or heard the metamorphosis story, you put a caterpillar here and then you put a butterfly here and you say, which one is which? They're going to say, well, this is just this and this is that. And you'd be like, actually, no, they're the same. This is what that butterfly looked like over here before there was this transformation, before there was this change, came out to be a butterfly. And if you were talking to a kid, they'd be like, no way. This turns into that? Isn't it amazing that the Bible uses the same word for me and you? Do not conform to the world, but be transformed, be changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Church, what happens when you prepare your mind and you come to this place to renew? And I love the word renew. It means a renovation. And it means to not be the same. A change. A change. When I renew something, there's a renovation. And it means not like it was. Isn't it amazing that when you see all these different TV shows of flipping homes and different things, and they're renovating homes, and you look and you say, wow, that just totally looks different from what it was. Well, what happens biblically when you have somebody, maybe you walked into a place and then you truly came to Christ later in life, and somebody sees you and they're like, man, you're not like you were. I haven't known you for 10 years, but there's something different about you. You're not the old so-and-so that I once knew. There's been a change in you. You're different. Yeah, I used to be the caterpillar. But Christ in me brought this transformation. And man, my mind was renewed and my mind was made new and it was renovated. And I am different from the past. Well, church, this is the huge deal here. Where does all of that take place? Right up here in your mind. Your mind has to be different from the past. It can't think the same way. We can't act the same way. We can't talk the same way. Listen, again, I'm not saying that you and me are going to be perfect. Listen, when you understand, yes, I sin and I need to repent and I need to ask my Father for forgiveness. I need to ask, say, I am wrong. But when you come to a place to really know what takes place in a believer, when you know, man, there is such power in my mind. I'm called for my mind to be renewed. And when my mind is renewed, then there is this transportation that takes place. Listen, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. How? By the power, by the renewing of your mind. So go backwards. If I renew my mind, there's this transition that takes place. And then I'm not going to conform to the world. So where does it all take place? It all takes place in your mind. And you come to a place to know whether I'm in high school, whether I'm in college, whether I'm married, whether I'm single. I come to a place, change happens in my mind. And when my mind is renovated, when my mind is different from the past, there's transformation. And transformation means I'm not going to conform to the ways of this world. There is so much authority and power in our minds, church, that you and I will grab hold of this. Come on, I want you to see this. Let's look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, watch this, not to think more highly than he ought to think. So what happens when here you have this statement. He says, listen, we're supposed to not conform, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, but you better be real careful in the renewing of your mind, because in that, watch this now, this is huge, in that there's a change that takes place. You once were like this, but now I have Christ and His Spirit in me. Now I'm like this, and in that change, what can happen in that change? I love it where he says, listen, you need to be careful, because don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because how easy is it to walk in a place to judge the world? How easy is it to walk in a place that the world would think we really stink, man? We really think we are better than them, and we have a better sense than them, that we just... And I love where he says, listen, this is the truth is this. We all swam in the same pond of sin. And when there is transformation and when there is change and we come to this place, go, man, I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to smell like the world. I don't want to act like the world. But man, I want to be in the world to win the world. And if I come off as stinky, like I'm better than them, you're not going to win anybody. Isn't it amazing that when that change truly takes place, that we would be so careful not to think too highly of ourselves that we would ought to think. And please, we're called to be confident. We're called to be bold. We're called to stand firm. We're called to not be ashamed. It doesn't mean we're a bunch of wimps, church. It doesn't mean we step back. But it also means we got to be very careful in our mindset that we don't come across as better than. We are sinners saved by grace. And our hope and our goal is for everyone around us to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And if we come across as we stink in arrogance, because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and I hope you're getting this. When you look at the verses here, it's talking about that change that takes place. But I love it where there's a guard that's set up. In that change, don't come across as prideful. Don't come across as arrogant. We're called to love. We're called to have grace. We're called to be patient. But in that, we're called to be bold, and we're called to be strong, and we're called to be confident, and we're called to be fearless and unashamed, and to stand our ground on a rock that is unshakable. I want to turn to Ephesians. And I think there's some things that take place in our minds, and Ephesians 4 is a great chapter. It really breaks down that real change from old to new. And it gives, in my opinion, one of the clearest pictures of Scripture through the whole chapter of, I once did this, but now I'm like this. I once lied, but now I speak truth. There's so much in Ephesians 4 of this switch, this transformation that takes place. But watch this. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, you'll pick it up in 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Verse 23, here it is. But watch this, that you lay aside the old self that's being corrupted in the lust of deceit. What are we called to do? There's a former manner of life that we put aside. But again, watch what it says. Look at this, verse 23. Watch this. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We see a second account here in Ephesians 4 that says, listen, when there is this old to new, there is a renewal of your mind. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, for he has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Church, what happens when there's a true conversion in one's spirit and soul, where we really come to a place to repent and believe and surrender, and we come to a place to absolutely buy into the truth of Scripture? And you come to a place and I need to prepare my mind for action. And I need this change to take place. I need to walk in a sober mind. I don't want it to be clouded. I don't want it to be foggy. It just, I can't think straight. But that we would come to a place to say, listen, there's this transition that takes place in our mindset. It says old is gone, the new has come. And the last part is this. Sing, and I want us to really answer the question, like, where are we in this, man? Have we come to a place to say, man, Sean, I've just been so foggy. Sean, I can't think straight. I need that renovation in my mind. I don't think I'm ready for battle. The first step is to be honest with yourself, man. I don't think I'm prepared for action. Man, if action came my way, if persecution came my way, man, I might cave. I'm not ready for that. I am not prepared for that. Please hear me. If you're in high school or if you're in college, this isn't an adult just for the adults. This is for every person who's in this place today. To say, I need to be ready. I need to prepare my mind for what's ahead. Close with some great news, because 2 Timothy 1 says this, and this is a promise. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I love this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I can go into high school bold and strong, unashamed. Man, I can go into college bold and strong and unashamed. I can go into my workforce bold and strong and unashamed. I can go to my marriage bold and strong and unashamed. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a what? A strong mind, a sound mind. This is what we know we have from God. God, fear didn't come from you. No. God, what I have from you is power. What I have from you is love. What I have from you is a sound mind. And it means sound judgment. It means I have the ability to control my mind. That's what that means. I have a self-controlled mind. Man, I need to walk in a place to make sound decisions, sound judgment, that I can walk in a place to know that I can control my mind. God has given me that ability to not be afraid, but He has given me the ability to love, to have power, and to have sound judgment. To have sound judgment. He's given us the ability to be ready. He's given us the ability to prepare. He's given us the ability to transform by the renewing of our minds. Can I ask you, what junk is in your head? Can I ask you this? We'll close with this. When you go into a crisis, does the crisis have you, or do you have the crisis? Like when you go into a time and a season of life that's just difficult, does that crisis own you? Does that crisis control you? Or do you control the crisis? Because when you're talking about having that sound mind and you're talking about having that self-discipline, you talk about what it means to really, I have the ability in Christ to control my mind. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Watch this. Verse 8 says this, so that you would not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, Sean, I've given you the ability to not fear. Don't be afraid. Sean, love. Sean, you have power. You have authority. Sean, you have the ability to control your mind. Walk in sound judgment. Why do I need all that? So that you will not be ashamed. Come on, be bold, be strong, be confident. Do not fear. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what happens, church, when you know, man, in my mind, I am going to be strong, that He is the living, He is the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. He was born of a virgin. He did live an absolute perfect, innocent life. He is the only way to heaven. He put Himself on a cross that you and I may know and believe that He is the Savior of the world, died and resurrected on that third day, now sitting at the right hand of the Father. For those who would believe in Him would have everlasting life. For he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son, church, does not have life. Are you ashamed of that story? Because when you talk about what it means to be ready, to be prepared, He's given us everything that we need to not be ashamed, to not walk in fear, to be able to walk in love, to be able to walk in power, which is authority, to be able to have a strong, sound, self-disciplined mind. He says, be sober in your mind. Man, as Brendan's singing this, man, I just ask, where are we in this? I love this, where we're going in our services now with the music, and just it gives us a time to take in everything from worship to word. You come to a place to say, okay, God, why am I so foggy? What have I allowed in my, I'm supposed to be able to control, man. I'm sound mind. I'm able to be self-controlled on my judgment. What has gotten in there that's caused me to be foggy, which means I'm not ready? Now we're just asking that God would just reveal whatever that is to you. Let's just pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Father, I just ask that we walk in a place to say, okay, it's time. It's time. The time is now. That it would be revealed, God, what is it that has gotten me so foggy? Is it an intoxicating influence? Is it people? I can't think straight. Is it just being so busy? Is it just not really spending our time with you? Father, what is it that's gotten in our way? Father, that we want to be people who are ready. I want to be someone who's ready for action. God, I want my mind to be sober. I want to put my hope on the resurrection. Jesus, there's a day that you come back and I'm ready. I want to be ready for action. Prepare our minds. That we would see this picture in this moment. Lord, that we would gird up our loins, we would tuck our robes and our belt and our mindset to say, God, I'm clear. God, I'm ready. I'm ready for battle. I'm ready for action. I'm ready to be unashamed. I'm ready for power. I'm ready for love. I'm ready to share the testimony unashamed of our King Jesus. I'm ready in Jesus' name. Come on, church.